As I was thinking about this morning in regards to our service, and there are moments in our lives where just uneventful things happen. We all go through that in life. There are certain things that are beyond our control. There are certain things that we are unaware of. And I just thought back as I was preparing and thinking about the message on this morning, was that several years ago, I was taking my two boys to school, Malachi and Micah. I was taking them to school one morning, and it's always something when you're trying to get them up and get to school. The kids, you know, if you have young kids, they hate going to sleep and they hate waking up. So that's two problems. So you get them up and you just got to stay on them. You can't just get them up and go in another room. You go back, they're sleeping. And so you got to get them up and you got to stay going and you got to stay on them and ask them, where is this, where is that? And it's always a process. And as a result of that, getting them out of the house and getting them going, you're driving and typically they forget something. Well, this particular day, they didn't have their lunch. And kids, they forget a lot of things, but they never forget what's on the menu in the cafeteria. They remember that. And when they know what's on the menu and they don't like it, they make sure that they either get money or they bring their lunch. Well, this particular day, they didn't have their lunch. So I had to drop them off, go to the store, pick them up something quick. I knew what I wanted. I went near their school, going to the store. So I pick up two quick items and go into the checkout. And there was this lady that was there who had probably about $1,000 worth of groceries. I mean, it was overflowing. I think it was about two baskets. And so she sees the checkout, and I see it. And she see what I have in my hand. I look like I'm in a hurry. Well, she pretended that she was going to be in a hurry that day. So as I'm walking, she just speeds up and goes into the checkout line. And I'm looking, I'm like, are we serious? Really? And then as she goes into the checkout line, she just looks back at me. So she checks out all 2,000 items in her grocery basket. I check out my two. So I hurry up, go to the boys' school, and give them their lunch. Then I said, you know what? I'm a little early. I'm going to go to the gas station. So I leave the school, heading to the gas station. So I pull up, get ready to go to get gas. And there's this pump that I see that's open. Nobody's there. I said, well, I'm gonna take that pump. Now, granted, there were two. There was one in the back and there was one in the front. So I had to go around just so I can get the one here and the other person can get the one in the back. As I'm getting ready to turn around and I'm about to pull up at the pump, there's this lady speeds up and goes to that pump and she saw me. And then I'm about to put down my window and I'm winding my window down and I'm saying, hey, hey. This lady sets her alarm. I'm serious. She closed the door, sets her alarm and just walks off. I'm like, Lord, this is too obvious that this is Satan. This is Satan himself trying to set me up. You know, we said, no, Satan, not today. Two moments that I find myself in, and I had to realize the moment that I was in. Those two moments could have set the course of my day. And to top it off, I had to preach that night. Don't count it strange. And so I think about that. We all have those moments in our lives where we don't have any control of what's happening. And I think about this morning about Paul in Acts chapter 16. That Paul is facing a defining moment in his life. I would go on record to say one of several defining moments. And like you and I, there are things that happen in life that are sometimes beyond our control. You didn't invite it. You didn't welcome it. To some degree, you didn't even deserve it. But it happened. And we see in life, there are moments that we get to experience that I believe defined milestones in our lives. In Acts chapter 16 is one of these moments for Paul. And if we could, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, I thank you this morning once again for the body of believers, Lord, as we come together to worship you and to honor you and to exalt you. And Lord, I pray for the next few moments that your word would come alive into our lives. That your word can do something that nothing else can do. It is powerful. It is effective. It is able to bring revelation and understanding. And Lord, let us receive from you what you have for us on today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we see this story in Acts chapter 16. And in the beginning of Acts chapter 16, Timothy joins Paul and Silas. Now they find themselves in an interesting position because as Timothy is invited to join Paul and Silas on this journey, there were requirements that Timothy had to do to qualify himself to be a part of it. And one of them was, as Timothy was wanting to be a part of Paul's ministry, Paul said, in order for you to be able to identify with the culture and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish, first of all, you're going to have to get circumcised. And after you do that, then we can start these customary dialogues and positions. So he gets to this point. Paul and Silas joins him. And during that time, they start off on this journey, this second missionary journey. And there were two previous stops in Acts chapter 16. Well, as Paul and Silas and Timothy were getting ready to go to, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit forbid them. And so as he forbid them to go that first missionary journey, then they find themselves going to the second journey. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit forbid them to go to that journey as well. And see, in life, so many times, we got to realize and opening up our hearts to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what the Lord wants to do, because it looks like Paul and Silas and Timothy were doing a great thing, but it wasn't a God thing. It wasn't the thing that God had for them, because he was shaping and positioning them and moving them in the direction that he had desired for them to go. So finally, they get to this place, and they're in Macedonia. And while they're there, they meet a lady by the name of Lydia. Lydia is an entrepreneur. She's in this position. And while she's there, she gets saved. She tells them, I need you to come to my house. And see, this is at Philippi. She's getting Philippi, we remember, 10 years later, Paul will make his way to Philippi. This is a significant moment in his journey. And so while he's at Philippi, and Lydia gets saved, and she says, I want you to come to my house so that my household can hear about the gospel, about your God and what you're doing. But in that moment, as they're getting ready to go to Lydia's house, there's an uproar that comes and begin to distract them. By the way, first of all, the distraction was there was this young girl who, as she's there, we begin to see that she starts to talk about Paul and Silas and talk about she was possessed by a demon. It was a familiar spirit that she talked about. Come hear about what Paul and Silas are doing. Come hear about this gospel that you can receive it. And what she was trying to say, because she was a tarot card reader, was that your God is real and my God is real. And that you're doing miracles and I'm doing miracles. And we can get along. As you worship your God, I worship my God. And while they're there, and she's exalting and praising Paul and Silas, let's not become too intrigued by who praise us and who worship us. Because this demonic familiar spirit, it seems on the outside that she was doing a good thing. Well, Paul gets to a place and he casts his demon out of her. And while she is free, she's set free, no longer in bondage. Well, the people that she was working for, they got upset because now these apostles are affecting their money stream. Now they're upset. Now they get to this place. And we're going to pick up in verse 16. It says, now what happened? Can we say now what happened? As we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us, and crying out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when the master saw that their hope and profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly troubling our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them and threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now remember, a moment ago, this slave girl was talking about how good this God was that Paul and Silas was serving. And then that moment, when all of the income began to be removed, they rose up against Paul and saying, what this man is speaking is not accustomed to us. And isn't this familiar as the same way that Jesus, when he was about to be crucified, he was falsely accused? And in this moment, Paul had bought his Roman citizenship. So he was actually qualified to be where he was. But he never spoke a word. He remained silent in the midst of the trial. They flogged him. They beat him. And as Paul is being put in the position that he's in, he finds himself being put in prison. And as we look here, it says, but at midnight. And that's going to be the title of the message this morning, The Miracle at Midnight. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And see, this morning, all of us in this room have had a midnight. Midnight represents darkness. And as we begin to think about that this morning, have you ever had a dark moment in your life where you didn't know where to turn? You didn't know what to do. And I can just think without reservation, the Apostle Paul, as he is in prison, there was something that kept him to be able to do what God had called him to do. Because see, in those moments in our lives, we experience darkness. And that darkness doesn't necessarily define us. That darkness put us in a position where we find ourselves in a place that brings us to unexpected circumstances. But I think without a shadow of a doubt, as the Apostle Paul was in those chains, I think he memorized some things about his life and about God. And I couldn't help but to think there were some hymns that the Apostle Paul had stored in his spirit. And I love all type of worship music, because the Bible says that David served God in his generation. In every generation here this morning, God has called us to serve God in our generation. And he called us to be able to hand a baton and not to hand a cane. He called every one of us to hand a baton to the faithfulness, to say, to carry on and do what God has called you to do. But in this moment, as the Apostle Paul was in prison and it was dark, I couldn't think but for a moment as he was bound by shackles. He was in prison, but praise didn't escape him. He was in prison, but the power of God wasn't absent in his life. And I think in this moment, he may have just let out a hymn. And I'm going to ask our musicians, maybe he sung, or maybe he remembered, "I Surrender All." Can you sing that for me?
I surrender all.
If you know it, can you sing it with them?
I surrender.
It was midnight. Maybe he reflected on the gratefulness and the greatness of God and the faithfulness of God. Can you take a moment and lead us in "Great is Thy Faithfulness"? Can you sing that one more time? Because remember, this was midnight. He's shackled. He's falsely accused. And in spite of all of that, he has a praise in his spirit. And I believe as he is singing, there is something that is happening in his life. Can you sing that one more time? And would you join them this morning?
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. See all.
Can we give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? As the Apostle Paul is in this position, all of a sudden praise starts to put him in a position. Thank you, ladies, so much. As he is in this position, praise is starting to lift him up. There is nothing that he can do about his condition, but he can do something about his praise. And I don't know where we are today. You probably found yourself in your position that you didn't have any doing. Because so often, this is so true for all of us. We remember what we're supposed to forget, and we forget what we're supposed to remember. Do you have that problem sometime? And I think as that time, as Paul is in this position, he was being reminded that I'm in this place. But I know that praise can affect my problem. I think he is in this place and he's knowing that if you're here this morning, if you're struggling with a certain issue, praise God for who he is and the power that he can bring in that situation. If you have a problem looking in the mirror, he's saying, I don't want you to look at the mirror, but I want you to look at me because I can bring change to your position. And he finds himself in this place, and maybe today you may take a moment and ask myself, am I using praise the way that God allowed me and intended for me to do it? Because see, that is not about tempo, that's not about style, that's not about speed. It's about perspective. Because I believe that God comes to change every one of us this morning. Our perspective. Because if I can get my perspective in the situation, God can bring the praise and the glory out of it. Because we see here that we find ourselves in this position, that we're doing the right thing, but you find yourself in the wrong position. Paul and Silas, they're here. They're at midnight. They start to worship God. They start to exalt God. They're saying, we can't get out. But we might as well start doing something that changes us on the inside. My position on the outside does not change. But if I can begin to worship God, even if I am in chains, because you can be bound physically, but you can be free spiritually. But you can be free on the outside, but you're bound on the inside. And he's saying, if I can get to my place and position, I can find myself to where sometimes at midnight, when we are in our darkest hour, our praise can be the strongest. Because so many times we can find ourselves falling and getting in positions and places, and we're wondering, God, where are you? Have you ever had that position? Have you ever thought about, God, where are you in this situation? Where are you in this moment? We have all been in a position, in a place where we're seeking God. We're doing what he's called us, what we think he's called us to do. We're being faithful, but we're not getting the results that we thought we should have had when we should have had them. And Paul and, and Silas. And one thing that I noticed about the text, you notice that we did not hear one complaint. We didn't hear him say, God, where were you? You called me on this missionary journey. You called me to do, I've laid down my life for you. We never heard Paul in a position to where he was questioning the sovereignty of God. But he said, I know what I'm going to do, what I've always done. I'm going to praise you no matter where I am and what I'm going through. I'm going to praise you while I'm in this position. Because we see here that he is in the place. And it says they were praying. And while they're there, other prisoners begin to get word, again to hear what's going on. And see, so many times, whether we realize it or not, everything that we do and everything that we say, someone is watching. And they're looking at how we respond. They look at the way that we deal with situations and circumstances. And I believe that in this moment, they may not have seen Paul. They may have heard of the injustice that he was going through. But in this position, they begin to hear the praise and the worship that is going on in another cell. And I think it put them in a position to where they were wondering, what is going on with these men? Because I believe that Paul, his body was so bruised that he couldn't get comfortable. He couldn't relax. Every move that he probably made, he was experiencing pain and discomfort. But even though he was experiencing pain and discomfort on the outside, he had a comforter on the inside that was comforting him during his pain. It was comforting him. It was lifting him up. It was bringing him into a position that he was able to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to be able to get through this. And he see here that they couldn't believe what they were hearing. Because sometimes the world wants us to know, they want to hear, how are you shouting when things are not going well? And I think without warning, which is so interesting, without warning, a huge earthquake hit. And then all of a sudden this earthquake comes and it blows off the scale. It is so strong and so forceful that it says it breaks all of their chains off. Now, if you think about this for a moment, I've been to prison. Well, let me clarify that. I've been to prison on the prison ministry. I got to make sure I make that clear. And so while I'm going to do prison ministry, I've been to prison before. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, if you hear an alarm sound and an earthquake sound and doors fly open, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, there are a lot of people who running out of the prison. I believe that they're going to yell, they're going to scream. Have you ever saw Shawshank Redemption? And you see all of this going on. But there's a problem. Paul is not a good prisoner. Because the doors fly open, everybody can leave, they can run. The guard whose only responsibility was to guard the men in the prison is about to take his life. Because that's what's going to happen to him anyway. But Paul is not a good prisoner. Paul is like that kid who always does his homework, who's always in class 5 minutes early. Have you ever had a teacher who she had an assignment that she was going to give you and she forgot to ask you for it and you was hoping that class was going to be over? But that smart kid raised his hand and says, teacher, you forgot to ask for the 15-page report. I've done it. Paul is that person. While everybody is running and getting out, Paul is saying, don't kill yourself. I'm here. We didn't run. We didn't leave. Because see, Paul was not trying to get out of a situation. He was trying to get the gospel in the situation. And sometimes God is saying, I don't want you to get out of the situation. I want to get the gospel in. I want to move in lives. I want to move in hearts. He's saying, if I can get you to that place where you keep running from what I called you to, your fulfillment will be secure. And so while Paul is there and he's about to fall on the sword, he says, don't do it. Don't do it. At that moment, that guard makes this statement and says, what must I do to be saved? The same man that was responsible for harming Paul and bringing wounds was the same man that was responsible for healing Paul and patching up his wounds. So many times we got to be careful not to make the enemy out of people, because Paul had an opportunity to seek revenge. But he knew that this was my assignment. God, you called me here. This was a part of the missionary journey that you have placed me on. And he says, what must I do to be saved? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. He says, not only am I saved, he said, when you take the gospel to my family, that my household will be saved. How many of you believe in today that the Lord is going to save your household? Can you believe God this morning that he says that you and your household will be saved? He said, I want to remind you of that, that my word is true and that I will stand firm upon my promises. What an amazing God that we serve, amen? But he says this, not only do we see that that household is saved, he says, he set food before him and he was full. The assignment that God gives us, it can bring fullness to life. It can make you full. It can make you complete. And we see as we get ready to close this morning, we see a similar story about midnight. Remember, midnight can represent darkness. But in Exodus chapter 12, it's a familiar passage that we know. In regards to the Passover being instituted again. And during that Passover, we remember that God is doing something in that moment. And in Exodus chapter 12, in verse 29, it says this. And it came to pass at midnight. And all his servants, and the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all of the firstborn of livestock. So we remember during that time, Moses was going to Pharaoh. And while he was going to Pharaoh, Pharaoh wasn't letting the people go. The Bible says that his heart was hardened. And while his heart was hardened, God would continue to send a plague. And each plague continued to progress. And that Exodus chapter 12, during the Passover, this is where the 10th plague comes in. God tells Moses, I want every house to have blood over their doorpost, because the death angel is coming. And when he's coming in any house that does not have blood, every firstborn life will be gone. And so as Moses goes and he gets the children of Israel and he gets them prepared, and each one of them put a blood of door over the doorpost. And Pharaoh, he doesn't know this. And as the death angel came, every house that didn't have a blood, they lost that firstborn. Then it says this. In verse 30, it makes this point. It says, so Pharaoh rose up in the night, and all of his servants, and all of the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he says, then he called for Moses. And he says, rise up, go out from among my people, both you and your children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. This morning, God is reminding us at midnight, even though that may be in the darkest hour, but one thing that we can take confidence in this morning is that there's a God in heaven who desires to move in our situation. He desires to move in our lives. And even though there's a midnight, we serve a God who is faithful. He's faithful wherever we may be. He's faithful, and his promises are true. His word is strong, and Paul was able to say, this one thing that I know, Paul was able to say, I'm confident of this one thing, that who that started a great work in me will bring that work into completion. Paul was saying, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He was saying that the weapon wouldn't be formed. He was saying that it wasn't going to prosper. He says, everything that rises up against me, the enemy will condemn. And so today we can come with a confidence that I don't know what your midnight is. I don't know where you are. I don't know what your position. But if you serve the God of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he has a miracle that can be a way of making escape. And even if he don't deliver us in that situation, he can give us the ability, because I believe the greatest miracle that we can experience is not asking God to remove us from situations, but being able to handle and being able to allow us to grow through it, even with the circumstances being the way that they are. And he says, today, I want you to take a confidence and assurance in me, because I know today we may face unknown. But today we can take a confidence in God's faithfulness that he can free us today. Amen? Because we know if the enemy can't stop you moving forward, he will try to make you miserable while you walk. But we don't have to take a confidence in that today. We can take a confidence and an assurance that God desires to do a miracle once again in and through our lives. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would, if you would bow your heads with me. God, we come before you this morning. And today we may find ourselves in a position as we navigate life, as we're going through circumstances and situations, that, Lord, sometimes we can feel totally overwhelmed with our situation. Lord, whether that's a death of a loved one, whether that's a diagnosis of a family or a friend, God, whether we are in a position where we've received news that just shook us, that just shocked us to our core. God, I don't know what you are doing, and we don't know what you're doing, but we know that you are faithful. And there may be someone this morning, you may be finding yourself in a position or situation that is beyond your control, that you it's been uninvited, it's been unwanted. But you stand in a position and you believe in God to do something supernatural and miraculous. I'm going to ask you if you would, stand and make your way to the altar this morning. So that way we can come in agreement with you. Because God, we don't know where we are. We're working through what we believe in you to do. That God, that you have the ability. You have the ability. You have the power. You have the promise. To do something supernatural in and through our lives. And so, God, we're going to stand tonight, today, this morning. God, we're going to stand and believe you for what you can do and what you can do alone. And as we're in this position this morning, your word says that, God, that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. And Lord, we believe you this morning. We believe you this morning. We believe you this morning. If you would, if you could stand with us all over the sanctuary this morning. And if you would just begin to extend your hands for those that are at the altar, our prayer team. If you would begin to make your way that we can come. There are needs in the house. Their needs in the house. And we don't know where we are. We don't know who is going through what, but we know that we serve a faithful God who can come today and can minister and meet every situation that we may find ourselves in.